गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरा गुरुर्साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः।
साक्षात्कारदत्त मालिकेयल्लि ಸೂಫಿ ಡಾ ಸೈಯದ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕತ್ ಪೀರಾನ್ ಅವರ ಅನುಭವದ ನುಡಿಗಳ ಮುಂದುವರೆದ ಭಾಗ. ಇವರೊಂದಿಗಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಡಾ ಅಜಯ್ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಸಿಂಗ್.
Would you like to say something, how this idea, you say that Sufism is just 200 years old, I mean the Westerners gave this name, but before that in some form, whatever name you give, this idea was always there. During its, how it developed and how it also got divided into what perhaps in a very crude term can be called gharanas, as we say in classical singing. Say the Naqshbandis are there, Sohrawardis are there. So different, how, what is the difference and why, how could they, how were they divided into these different
sects? You see, the, when the Lord's words uttered by Prophet were collected individually by his companions, it was not recorded in the form of Quran as we have today. It was during the Prophet's firstborn companions, the word of God in the form of Quran was written down. It was written down in the way in which Prophet used to recite. And thereafter, Prophet's utterances, which is known as Hadith, were also scattered. And it took time for the narrators to retain in the written form, in whatever form they had written, orally or in the heart or in the parchments or on the skin. So great scholars like Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, Imam Abu Majah, Abu Imam Dawood, about six of very great scholars, are very high eminent. They were persons who attained the heights of spirituality also.
Which area they belong
they
to?
They all belong to the various regions of the Muslim world. Bukhara was in near Tashkent,
right.
USSR.
Yes.
Because Islam had spread by then. About 150 to 200 years after this, prophets. They collected all this hadith of Prophet and they testified. Although Quran by that time had already been written and spread to all the centers of Islam during the period of Umar and Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar and Usman. Prophet's son-in-law Usman and Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali is considered as Babul Ilm, the door of the knowledge. And when Prophet said, I am the
and
Ilm.
And Sufis have particularly
he is supposed to be the Ali, Hazrat Ali is supposed to be the repository of all spiritual knowledge. So he gave the mantle to his sons and Hassan Basra, Hassan Basri also. So they passed on the mantle of knowledge, the secret word of Lord, which was not uttered. God has 99 names. Prophet has got 99 names. There could be many more. There are six secret names. So there is a secret knowledge which was passed on from heart to heart. This secret knowledge of heart to heart was given by Prophet to Hazrat Ali, and he passed it on to his children, and they passed on to the 11 Imams who came thereafter from Imam Hussein, and this kept on being kept secretly within the hearts. Then these great saints, because of their eminence and following, they started the Khanqahs, not Gharana, this is known as Khanqahs. The Char Peer Chauda Khan Wade, they said. So among the greatest saints who are supposed to have been born saints, from their virtues and their miracles were emanated, it came from the time of their birth itself. So one such was Abdul Khadir Jilani, from Baghdad. He was from Jilan, Persian area. But for about 25 to 30 years after his education, he roamed around in the jungles of Iraq and other places. And when he attained a great state of eminence, prophet has appeared in his dream and said you should go and instruct people. So when next 25 years till he reached 90s, he was able to attract thousands and thousands, and all his followers spread throughout the world, to India, Sri Lanka, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, and this and his system is known as Khadriya. So the Chishtia was Usman Haruni was in Chisht in Afghanistan. So he also attained a very great prominent position in the Sufism, in the art of Sufism, and he passed on his mantle to Khaja Mainuddin Chishti. So the Prophet commanded him to, in his dreams, to go to India. By the time the army had not reached India,
right?
So he came to Ajmer, and with his spirituality and his...
So was he the first known famous Sufi saint to come to India?
Ali Data Ganjbakhsh had come, because you would know during the period of Khalid bin Walid or during Umar's period historically, the armies of Arab armies had reached Sindh. So although they returned back without establishing their rule, but the saints remained. All the saints who had come for missionary work, they stayed back in Sindh, in the portion of Sindh. So Ali Hajveri is considered as the first Data Ganjbakhsh.
Right.
And his first work on Sufism is Kashful Mahjub. Kashful Mahjub is his work, wherein he has given the origin of, written down the origin of the art of Sufism, and how it took a departure from the despotic rulers, worldly people, pleasure-seeking people, people who were more committed to sin and others.
Basically, in very simple terms for our listeners, are there any basic differences between these different Khadriya or Chishtia? What were the basic differences? Was there an important difference between
each
the practices?
Time and each historical period had different compulsions. During Abdul Khadr's period, there was lot of dissension, lot of misrule, and people had taken him to bohemian life.
Okay.
It was as if in the present times when there is a lot of terrorism, crime and all that. So because of his spirituality, of his total dedication to the Lord, and about his high heights of eminence, the command of the Lord and the Prophet was that he should make the people's heart turn towards the Lord. Because people had become too worldly and had almost shunned the religion. They did not have a religious life. And there were a lot of crime. Every house was having a criminal. So it was necessary during his time, according to the ways the people were living, that they should be brought back to law.
So a particular set of laws were formed.
The law of the Islam, which was Sharia, was not followed. The kings were taken up to bohemian life. They took up to the crime. They took up to loot, mar and all that. So it was necessary that the people's heart were turned towards Sharia, towards following the rules and regulation, made more godly. That was the need of the time.
Right.
So the Abdul Khadr's perceptions and his precepts and his commands and his way was to bring people back to the fold of Islam.
Right.
And that's why he became very strict in the following the Islamic code. And he laid down that in his silsila, Khadriya silsila, although they should reach the high height of Sufism, various stages of Sufism, from ordinary seeker stage to that of the Lahut, there are various stages. He reaches to the stage of Ali Allah.
Yes.
He reaches to stage of Marjar, Fana, and thereafter he reaches to stage of Baha. He explained all this. But at the same time, he said that you should live within the precepts of law. You shall not leave law.
As far as within society.
Within the society. When Khaja Gharibun Nawaz came to India, India was totally captured by the Vedantic thinking. There were large number of yogis, swamis, sons, and Hindu philosophy had captured the mind of people. But the music was a method by which the people reached God. So Mainuddin Chishti had to resort to
include some of it.
Include the Indian way and Indian culture to attract them to the path of God.
Right.
Aisa jag mein na mila jo ghat mein alakh jagaye. Bin baati bin tel ke antar deep jalaye. अंतर दीप जलाए.
सो ही इनिशिएटेड
assimilated some of
assimilated these especially music.
Hmm.
So Hindustani music reached his heights in the Chishtiya silsila.
Mm-hmm.
His immediate disciple who became his deputy was Khutbuddin Aibak. Khutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, who is laid to rest in Delhi, whose mausoleum is there.
Ji.
He was during the time of Altamash. Khutbuddin Minar was built in his name.
Yes.
And his deputy was Fariduddin Shakarganj,
Shakar
in Pakpatan.
Ji, ji, ji.
So Shakarganj was in Punjab.
Ji.
So he had to assimilate the local culture of
so that is
Punjab.
Also one of the ways of the Sufism, that
Sufism
they do assimilate,
always used to assimilate whatever was available in the local culture, in the local people's dialect.
Yes,
that is how Urdu language came into existence,
and that's how perhaps it attracted people. Also felt attracted because no resistance. It was both ways. They were adopting the local conditions, and therefore people were also open to their influence. Perhaps that could have been the reason.
Quite so. Each, see, the as I mentioned, after Fariduddin Shakarganj had to adopt to the local methods of recitation of poetry. His poetry was in Punjabi, Gurmukhi, and the local language dialect. It was so pleasing and touching to the heart. So at that time was the advent of Sikhism also. So Guru Nanak ji also was influenced, and he also roamed around the world, and that was the Bhakti movement. Kabir was subsequently during Akbar's period and all. When Bhakti movement started, when the Chishtiya saints and the Hindu saints, they joined
before Nanak, just before Nanak, so
they all started this Bhakti movement so that the people can be made more godly and more towards the reaching the pinnacle of success in spirituality.
So you mean to say that these were the local conditions of the time and the place, because of which some different things were assimilated, and the great saints started their own silsila.
Whatever preachings they gave according to their times, they were all recorded by their disciples. They had thousands of disciples. After Fariduddin Shakarganj, a young man who was deeply influenced by his thought was there in Delhi. He traveled by walk to Pakpatan. That was Nizamuddin. It was
Nizamuddin.
Fariduddin Shakarganj noticed that this boy, this young man, I will become a very great saint. So he gave him his khilafat to him and said to go back to Delhi and preach.
Then he started.
He preached. So that was the time of tyranny. If you remember, many kings came and they were interested in looting the people, and they had misrule, misadministration, there were famines, and people were suffering. So they needed a godly man among their midst, who could give them solace, who could give them comfort, who could give them hope, who could show them the path as to of virtues and take them out from vice.
Gungat ka pat khol le, gungat ka pat khol. Antar ka pat khol re, antar ka pat khol. तुहे पिया मिलेंगे, तुहे राम मिलेंगे. घूंघट का पट खोल रे, घूंघट का पट खोल. घट घट में वो साई रमता, घट घट में वो साई रमता. कटु कवचन मत बोल रे, कटु कवचन मत बोल रे.
As of today, internationally, which silsila you will say that is more popular? Say population, that more followers, which silsila?
We can't say one silsila precedes over the other silsila, because when it comes
not
to
in importance
the gathering
or anything, but
no, when it
in
comes
numbers.
To the gathering, no, Chishtiya silsila was accepted in India because of its openness,
right?
Because they accepted music, they had gatherings of sama. Sama is where the
Qawwalis took place.
Qawwalis was initiated, and it was more touching, and they did not impose, accept, did not force the murids or the people
Amir
who were
Khusro forward. Also helped.
Amir Khusro was a great saint. He was considered as the Tote-e-Hind, parrot of the His he also wrote about the chronicles of Nizamuddin. He was a soldier, a poet, an administrator. He was so deeply attached to his master that the master Nizamuddin had to prophesize that he would not see him in Delhi when his end would come.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back, he stood on his threshold till death reached him. He is buried there, right in front of Nizamuddin's mausoleum. And it is already a plate is written there that they should first do the ziyarat of Amir Khusro and thereafter go to the mausoleum of Nizamuddin.
Achha, after death of his master, निजामुद्दीन औलिया जो दो लाइन उनकी बड़ी मशहूर हैं अमीर खुसरो साहब की कि गोरी सोबे सेज पर मुख पर डाले केस चल खुसरो घर आपने रेन बही चहुदेस इसको थोड़ा समझाइए वुड यू लाइक टू एक्सप्लेन लिटिल बिट
द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन द पीर एंड द मुरीद इज वेरी डीप ही वाज सो मच एनकैप्चर्ड विद द लव ऑफ हिज मास्टर दैट ही इट वाज He could not survive. He could not sustain the loss. He felt that the world around him had already collapsed. And it was time for him to also leave the world. And he desired, the Nizamuddin Awliya used to say, if the law of Shariat permits, I will let both of us be buried in the grave together.
I see.
That was the extent
so
of love.
So that is the Guru Shish Parampara jo Hindu mein hai. I mean, that was so strong.
The strong. And the whole night, Amir Khusro and Nizamuddin had spent together discussing
such
poetry,
spirituality. Such a similarity.
Such depth was there within the love. And Nizamuddin Awliya was a bachelor. He didn't marry throughout his life. But the mantle of Khilafat was not bestowed on Amir
Khusro. That, of course, story I have read about that.
It's a very interesting,
interesting story.
Because Nasiruddin Chirag Dehlvi was equally a very pious and a man of attainment. Of very great attainment. And he was also not married like his master. When the end was coming close to Nizamuddin Awliya, he had to choose a person to head his monastery, his khanqah. So he could not decide as to whether he should give the authority of Khilafat to Nasru, Amir Khusro, or Amir Khusro or Nasru Nasiruddin. He was called affectionately as Nasru.
So Khusro or Nasru.
So he directed both of them to go to a madzub. A madzub is a divine intoxicated person. They are totally away from the worldly ways and worldly life. They are so much intoxicated and absorbed in life, in the God, that they forget their own surroundings. They are called as madmen. So he directed both of them to go and meet that saint. So that saint was plastering his hut and his hand was all soiled with mud and all that. So when these two people approached him, so immediately he took halwa in his hand, soiled hand, and offered it to Amir Khusro. Amir Khusro was a prince. Almost he was. He has lived in among princes and kings and all that. He could not bear to see this, the halwa being held in a soiled
muddy hand.
But Nasiruddin Awliya and Chirag Dehlvi knew that it was a blessing, which has come from the hands of God. Because a Sufi who has attained, his whole personality is supposed to be godly. So immediately he took it and ate
it.
So the saint knew why they have come.
That's
he said, go back to your
example
guru.
Of Guru Bhakti.
Guru Bhakti. माने डर लागवाई दीन रो ओ दीन रो एक दीन रो गुरुजी एक दीन रो घड़ी आदि पलनो गुरुजी मारे माने डर लागवाई दिवाड़ी तू गजर राई बन रो गुरुजी So when they came back, Nizamuddin Awliya said, Nizam chahta hai Khusru ko. Allah chahta hai Nasru ko.
So yeah, that's how he. No. He
so God desires that Nasru should become, Nasruddin should become the commander or the deputy or the Khalifa of the saint.
You did mention some of the names of
so after
famous
Nasiruddin
saints.
Chiragh Dehlvi, like the Nasiruddin Chiragh Dehlvi was so devoted. Ghiyasuddin Bandenawas, Muhammadi, who was very, very devoted. He had long hairs.
Gulbarga,
so he was. They used to carry the palanquin of Nasruddin. So his hairs came in his hand, and his legs, but he never uttered a word. He loved his master so deeply. And he lived to a long age of 80. When he got a premonition that the Delhi would be ransacked by invaders.
So he left and came to Gulbarga.
He gave a command to all his followers and to Delhi people that Delhi will see bloodshed. You better leave Delhi. And it is said that only 300 people followed him. But as he came down and down, so many princes, so many kings were offering their place to him. He did not. He used to say, I will see in the morning. I will tell you whether I should stay or not. When he reached Gulbarga, the king who was there at the time was a Muslim king. He offered him to stay in Gulbarga. Gulbarga was known by a different name. So he said, I will tell you in the morning. In the next morning, he told the king, you don't have life as long as I could live. Then he said, you pray that I die on the same day as you pass away. It is the legend goes that both the Ghiyasuddin Bandenawas, Shahbaz Buland Parwas, Masayyad Muhammad, Muhammadullah Hussein, that is how he is referred, passed away on the same day on the king passed away.
Right.
So his mausoleum is a very big mausoleum. Although the mausoleum and the pillars are so high, but the grave which is dug is not very big. It's very small, almost touching the ground.
You did mention some of the great Sufi saints of India. Would you some others?
No,
some others.
India was influenced by very many thoughts. Vedantic philosophy, Mahavir philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, and it was a conglomeration of various cultures. So the people took up to asceticism, sat in penance in Himalayas, they were scholars. They were scholars also. So the Sufi thought, that is the thought which leads to the Lord, let the light come from all sides. It penetrated all sections of society, from scholars to ascetics to social workers to the kings. So there were a number of followers. During Nizamuddin's period, there was a great saint who is laid to rest in Panipat. He is Bu Ali Shah Khalandar.
Right.
There is a Khalandari Silsila.
Khalandari
Silsila. Then at the time of Aurangzeb, his eldest brother, Dara Shikoh, was a great admirer of Sufism. He had very many Khadri saints on whom he had taken bayat. And he had done deep research on the Vedantic philosophy and translated Vedantic work into from Sanskrit to Persian. And he was being eminent scholar. He had direct contact with great men of letters. He wrote two books on Indian Sufis, collected all the biographies of them, Sakinat-e-Dawliya and Safinat-e-Dawliya, which gives a long list of saints and their biographies during his time. It's very interesting to know that he was not a great soldier. He was not but he was almost like Akbar. He wanted to synthesize.
Yeah, he was a great.
So during that period, there were fanatics also.
In fact, he's the man who translated the Upanishads first of all into Persian.
But he had many enemies, especially the mullahs. They feared that the masses could be converted again to the Deen-e-Ilahi, which had been advocated by Akbar. So they instigated Aurangzeb that he should take over the rule. So when Shah Jahan passed away, Aurangzeb was the governor of Gujarat. He marched. He was able to fight with both his brothers.
Yes.
And he was able to even defeat the army of Dara Shikoh. But why I'm mentioning to you is the fate met by Sufis at the hands of Aurangzeb. The greatest Sufi of the time was, he was a man of letters. He used to correspond with Dara Shikoh, Sufi Sarmat. He took up to such istism that he would remove his clothes also and he used to sit in the steps of the Jama Masjid. So when the king used to pass from that way, these mullahs and others would complain that here is a madman without clothes and he should pass some sentence. So that he could, and he would not utter the full kalma, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He is not accepting Prophet, and you should do something and get rid of him. He is a danger to air, and people will revere him a lot. So he said, I cannot kill him or behead him unless there is some proof or some complaint against him. So they said he is blasphemy. He is calling himself as Analhaq. He is calling himself as God and all that. So on some pretext or the other, a charge was made and he was ordered to be beheaded. So he was ordered, he was beheaded on the steps of Jama Masjid. It is reported as a legend that the body took the head in its hand and started walking. And from his blood was recital of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Then his peer Hare Bare Shah came there and asked this head, where are you going? I'm going to the Prophet to complain against this king. No, the complaint has already
gone.
So he put down the head and he's buried in very same place. In the steps of, I have visited any number of times. I do notice thousands of Hindus visit his.
That's the Sufi Sarmat. Sufi saints are visited by Hindus, Muslims, all over India.
Shah ka shadu, Ali ka dulara, Khwaja mere khwaja, dil mein sama ja. Shah ka shadu, Ali ka dulara, Khwaja mere khwaja.
ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ಕಾರದತ್ತ ಮಾಲಿಕೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಇದುವರೆಗೆ ಸೂಫಿ ಡಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಸೈಯದ್ ಲಾಕಾತ್ ಪಿರಾನ್ ಅವರ ಅನುಭವದ ಮಾತುಗಳನ್ನು ಕೇಳಿದಿರಿ. ಇವರೊಂದಿಗಿದ್ದವರು ಡಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಅಜಯ್ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಸಿಂಗ್. ಶ್ರೋತೃಗಳೇ, ಈ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದ ಮುಂದಿನ ಭಾಗ ಮುಂದಿನ ವಾರ ಇದೇ ಸಮಯಕ್ಕೆ ಪ್ರಸಾರ ಮಾಡುತ್ತೇವೆ.
ಗುರು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಗುರು ವಿಷ್ಣು